our look at the book of Acts and our impact series of messages that is designed to look at the impact of the early church and how they made that impact on the world in which they lived. We're trying to answer the question, why did the church have such a significant impact? What made the church so compelling and attractive to other people that would cause them to want to join the movement of the early church? Of course, we're trying to make some connections with the church today, but to narrow it down further, we're trying to make some connections with the early church and the church here at the Logan Sport Vineyard. And so I just invite you this morning to turn, if you would, to the third chapter of Acts, Acts chapter 3, and we'll continue with our series. Let's just pray. Lord, we need you. If you don't come, Lord, it's just a prepared talk. It's just a presentation. It will go right past us, and we will not have taken in any of it, Lord. We need your Spirit to come and, Lord, put power on the message, and God, make up for my weaknesses, make up for my inadequacies, and make up the difference there, Lord, and come with your Holy Spirit power. So we just invite you to come in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the predominant issues that occupies people's minds and takes a huge chunk out of your wallet is health and healing. Healing is important to us here in America, isn't it? And really, its importance is reflected on how much we spend annually on health care. Now, reports vary, and really, depending upon who you talk to, or depending upon who you listen to, depending upon what you read, it's said that America spends around $3 trillion a year on health care. I said that was T, trillion. $3 trillion a year on health care. Or to put it another way, it said that one out of every $6 spent in America is spent on health care, and the percentage just continues to rise. One out of every six dollars in your pocket gets spent on health care. But you know, health and healing is not just important to us financially, it's important to us personally, because most of you know that when you're sick, or when you're in pain, or if you have a family member who is sick or they're in pain, that health and healing tends to dominate your thoughts, doesn't it? It's the thing that's mostly on your mind. You become preoccupied with your symptoms or with your pain. And that's all you think about. Some people are so sick. I've been there. You've probably been there. You'd just shoot me. I'd be better off if you just shoot me. You know, I'm so sick, you know. You know, today many people associate the church with tending to people's souls, don't they? The church is about soul care. But what they fail to realize is that healing is one of the legs that the church stood on in its beginning. And the reason that the early church had made such an impact on its hostile culture is that it offered people health and it offered people healing in Acts chapter 3. Now, part of the health and the healing that the early church was offering was divine healing, which I'll talk about in just a minute. But the early church also offered ordinary care for the sick through nursing and just medical attention. In fact, history records terrible epidemics and plagues that swept the Mediterranean world in the first few centuries that followed Jesus. From 251 to 266 AD, after Christ, there was an outbreak of disease known as the Plague of Cyprian. It is said that 5,000 people a day were dying in Rome. 5,000 people a day were dying in Rome. A man named Dionysius, who was the bishop of the churches in Alexandria, Egypt, he wrote that two-thirds of Alexandria's population may have died in this outbreak. Two-thirds. Two out of three people died in the plague of Cyprian in those early centuries. And at the height of this great epidemic around 260 AD, Dionysius wrote an Easter letter. He wrote an Easter letter about the heroic nursing efforts of local Christians, and most of whom they lost their lives in caring for other people who had the plague. Listen to what he says. Most of our brother Christians showed unbounded love and loyalty, never sparing themselves and thinking only of one another. Heedless of danger, they took charge of the sick, attending to their every need and ministering to them in Christ, and with them departed this life extremely happy. For they were infected by others with the disease, drawing on themselves the sickness of their neighbors and cheerfully accepting their pains. Many in nursing and curing others transferred other people's death to themselves and died in their place. And then he went on to say this, but the heathen behaved in the very opposite way. At the first onset of the disease, they pushed the sufferers away and they fled from their dearest, throwing them into roads before they were dead and treated unburied corpses as dirt, hoping therefore thereby to avert the spread and the contagion of the fatal disease. But do what they might, they found it impossible to escape. Now, which group would you want to align yourselves with? The Christians who would care for you and take you in and nurse you, love and love you and love your loved ones back to health, or the pagans who would throw you out on the gutter, leave your body unburied, run from you at the first sign of sickness? You see, it was healing. Both divine healing, but it was ordinary care of the sick that caused the early church to make an impact and caused this explosive growth despite the hostilities that they faced and the persecutions that came to them. It was healing. Let's look this morning in Acts 3 at one of the first recorded divine healings of the church. One day, Peter and John, chapter 3, verse 1. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Now a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. And Peter looked straight at him, as did John. And then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. And then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." And taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong, and he jumped to his feet and he began to walk. And then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. And when all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Now, let me just pause here as we begin to look at this particular healing. And I think there's a couple of things that we need to see. All right. And Luke writes that Peter and John, who really came to the forefront as the apostles, they were some of the leading apostles, Peter and John. They were going to pray, going to the temple to pray in the afternoon. Now, prayers were offered in the temple three times a day. They were offered at 9 a.m., noon, and 3 p.m. And so, even though they now believed Jesus was the true Savior of the Messiah, they were still good Jews. They still went to pray. And so here we find them going to pray, as was their custom, at 3 in the afternoon. And the scripture says that this crippled man was outside the gate, and this gate was known as Beautiful, which is kind of ironic, don't you think, the story? Here you have a crippled man, lame man from birth. I don't know if you've ever seen somebody who's crippled. I don't know that we would call it beautiful. But here they are. Here he is. He's at the gate called Beautiful. Josephus, the church historian, says that this gate was 75 feet high. 75 feet high. And it was covered over with silver and gold. This gate was amazing. Right? And Luke says that the crippled man was carried there every single day to beg, from those who were going into the temple courts. Because not only did people go to the temple to pray, but they gave to give. They gave to give sacrifices, but they gave to give offerings to the Lord. And so he was hoping to get a few bucks, right, for the day. Now, as I mentioned, Peter and John, they would have made it a practice. They would have made it a practice to go to the temple court and to pray every day. So doesn't a natural observation come up? It does for me. I don't know if it does for you. They must have seen him before. They must have walked by him repeatedly before. And so what made this day different from the dozens of days before it? What made this day different? Why was this man healed on this day and not the day before? Or the week before? Or the month before? Why? Well, when we talk about divine healing, two things are necessary. Two things are necessary. And I'm being very deliberate in using the phrase divine healing rather than faith healing, because when we talk about miraculous healings, the focus needs to be on the divine, doesn't it? It needs to be on God, not on an individual's capacity to drum up faith. Healing takes place in the Bible and in the New Testament because the focus is on God. And Peter says, and we read it before, silver and gold I don't have. But what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. Walk. And one of the things that we need to see is that one of the things that's needed for healing to take place is God's activity. Peter was clear about where the healing came from. It came from God. But that still doesn't answer our question, does it? Why that day? Why did God move suddenly on Peter to look at that man? Why did the divine power flow through Peter at that moment and not the umpteen moments before, when he walked by the beggar? Why? Well, the answer is, we have no idea. You were hoping, weren't you? Who of us can understand God's timing? God allowed the children of Israel to be mistreated in Egypt for 400 years before sending Moses as a deliverer and bring them into the promised land. There's a bit of timing there, right? God made Father Abraham, Mother Sarah, right? He made them wait decades before giving them their promised son. Who can fathom the timing of the Lord? Who in this room can answer the question, why today and not yesterday? Who can answer that question? You see, we must allow God to be God. We must allow God to be God. The psalmist says this in Psalm 115, verse 3, our God is in heaven, he does whatever pleases him. You see, we have to approach God with the attitude that God, the God of the Bible, he can't be manipulated. There are no rituals. There are no magic formulas, no secret prayers, no incantations, no length of prayer. There is no days of fasting or any sacrifices that we can make that would make God do what we want God to do. You can't manipulate God. The God of the Bible is not an idol that you pick up and manipulate according to our desires, according to our timing. I was thinking about this. You ever think about those games that people played? You know, kids would play where you put your hands out and you try to slap your hands. And, try to be fast and other things. What would you always say? You would, too slow. Too slow. Right, and that's our experience, isn't it? A lot with God. We're like, this is too slow, way too slow, way too slow. But with God, we have to understand it's never if I do A, B, and C, then God will do D. That's not the way it works. Now, God does choose to bless us children, doesn't he? He does. He blesses us. We read the scripture, the psalm, that he gives us so many good benefits. He pours out on our lives benefits, blessings, goodness in our life, kindness in our lives. But he doesn't always choose to make us happy. Oh, great news, Pastor. He doesn't always give us what we want when we want it. But it shouldn't discourage us from asking God to move on our behalf. Because as a Christian, as I allow God to be God and recognize that my timing is not God's timing, I can still approach God believing for the miraculous. And for healing, here's the way we should approach God. Let's say that you have someone in your family who's not a believer, who's not a follower of Jesus. We ought to approach Jesus in this way. Jesus, I may not have seen my son or my daughter or my mom or my dad come to know Jesus yesterday, but that doesn't mean that you won't move today. That doesn't mean you won't move today. And so I'm here. Approaching you again. Move, oh God, in their hearts, drawing them with your cords of loving kindness. See, who knows why God keeps us praying for years? Maybe God keeps us praying to keep us dependent upon him. Maybe God keeps us praying because he wants to do something inside of us. Maybe God keeps us praying because he's working in another person's life, something that's taking years to develop. And then one day, there'll be a day when God will come and move. See, the point is, in our relationship with God, never say to yourself, if it didn't happen yesterday, then it will never happen. Never say that. See, it's not over. It's not over. That would be politically incorrect to say that. You know what I was going to say. Yeah. It's not over until the robust not over until death. Huh? And for the Christian, it's not even over then. Because we believe in life after life. So in your praying for others to come to Jesus or to experience a healing or to experience a healing in your life, God may choose to say what he did in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. God may choose to say, now's the time. God may say to you, to your family member, your loved one, now's the day of your salvation. You've been praying for years. And now, today, is the day of your physical healing. Now, today, is the day of your physical healing. You've been praying for your marriage, and God says, now's the time you're going to straighten up. Now's the time I'm going to move in your life. I'm going to move in your spouse's life. I'm going to move in your wife's life. I'm going to move in your husband's life. Now. Who knows the timing of the Lord? Who knows the timing that can understand the timing of God? So I think we need to be clear. Divine healing in the New Testament, it's not positive thinking. Divine healing in the New Testament is not possibility thinking. Divine healing in the New Testament, it's not psychic energy or willpower or balancing your energy field, whatever that means. None of those things is what the Bible is referring to when it talks about healing. And I think we need to be clear about what faith means. Faith is the bold expectation of healing for everyone. We pray and we seek God for ourselves, for others, and at the same time, with a humble submission, we leave the timing to God. We want it now. We expect it now. We pray believing for healing now. And we humbly submit to God when God says, not now. Tomorrow. Tomorrow. So, in answering the question, what things are necessary for healing, first of all, there needs to be God's activity, which we cannot manipulate. God's activity, which we cannot manipulate. But secondly, there must be human availability. Human availability. We saw in Acts chapter 3, it says that when Peter and John were about to enter, the lame man asked him for money. And Peter looked straight at him, and John looked at him as well, and Peter said, look at us. And the man gave them his attention. He was expecting to get something from them. Not what he got. Right? Why was this man healed? Today, it was the result of God's activity, but it was also the result of human availability. You see, God chooses not to work in this world by himself. I like what Thomas Walker said. He's a Bible commentator. He said, the power for this healing was Christ, but the hand was Peter's. The power for this healing was Christ, but the hand was Peter's. You see, here's one of the amazing truths in the Bible, is that God invites you and me into a relationship with himself. Isn't that amazing? And he also invites you and me to pray in order to fulfill his ultimate purpose for our own lives. He wants us to pray about our own lives so he can bring about his will in our lives. Scratch your head. Think about that. Not only that, but he invites us to pray so that he might fulfill his purpose, ultimate purpose, in another person's life. And so it's just truly amazing partnership. You know, God chooses to partner together with you and to me in bringing about his will in the world. It's incredible. And this is what Paul said. This is what the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 3. He said, "For we are God's co-workers." That's what it says. You are God's field, God's building. We are God's co-workers. Co-workers in the world. And so God wants to work through your obedience. God wants to work through my obedience. God wants to work through your prayers. God wants to work through my prayers in the lives of other people. And so here we see Peter reaching out his hand, grabbing this guy, and lifting him up. Right? Peter was available to God. And it's often said that the only ability that God looks for in people is availability. That's the only ability that he looks for. And let me ask you this. You know, if you're like me, you make a trip to the city, how many of you ever get hit up for money? Anybody? Yeah. We get hit up for money. Our usual response is no. Yeah, and you're thinking in your head, well, you're thinking a lot of things in your head. But you think, I'm busy. I've got places to go. I want to go do this. I'm with my wife. I'm with my family. I'm with some friends. We have plans. We're going to do something. And then mostly we think, I don't want to support your liquor habit or your drug habit. That's what we think. Right, come on, let's be realistic here. Right? Right? Most of us rarely, if ever, do we stop and we say, "Or God, what are you doing in this person's life?" Rarely do we do that. God, what are you doing in this person's life? You see, availability to God means simply that we believe in divine interruptions. We believe in divine interruptions. What if we stopped? What if we stopped? What if we stopped when we saw something? What if we stopped when we heard something? Let's say we saw something a little unusual. A young woman on a park bench and she's crying. We saw something unusual. And what if we said, as we saw that, God, do you want me to use me in this person's life? God, what are you doing here? You see, I think that's what Peter did. I think that's what Peter did. He saw something. He saw something. Peter, it says, the scripture says, Luke says, Peter looked straight at him. Now, mind you, he went to the temple probably 3 times a day. But this particular day, he looks at him. Looks straight at him. Now, to me, I'm thinking myself, wouldn't a crippled on the ground begging be a little unusual? Why would you miss? How could you miss that? You know, dozens of times. I don't know. But anyway, maybe God spoke to Peter through his emotions, and he had compassion. Did that ever happen to you? Just have just this overwhelming sense of compassion for somebody. And it prompts you to stop or reach out to them. Maybe God spontaneously gave Peter some kind of word or direction or a vision. Or maybe he had a dream about the man. We don't know. Maybe God spoke to Peter and gave him this feeling, this impression that something was going to be different as he interacted with this man. Maybe he saw the man's faith. Who, I don't know. Maybe he saw faith in the man. Maybe he saw the Holy Spirit resting on this particular beggar. Whatever it was, Peter was available. Amen? Peter responded. Peter acted. He was available, he responded, and he acted. And this is what we know. For divine healing to take place, we must have God's activity and we must have human availability. We must have God's activity and we must have human availability. We've got to be available to the fact that God may want to use us. God may want to use our prayers. God may want us to reach out, lift a person up, touch them on the shoulder and say, be healed in the name of Jesus. He may want us to do the very same thing. Amen? Let me finish with this. The man in the temple was asking for cash. Right? Asking for cash. And God gave him something so much better than anything he'd ever dreamed of. Right? He asked for cash. He got his legs back. We never had his legs to begin with. And he was able to go into the temple to worship God, something that he had never, ever been able to do. To walk through the gate and offer his own worship together with maybe friends, maybe his family. And he was able to start new relationships where he was the one who could provide the help. And now a whole new world opened up to him, and now he could provide help. Now he could walk up to somebody. Now he could reach out his hand. Now he could be available to God. I'm going to say this, and then we want to pray this morning. When the Bible speaks about healing, it's talking about the healing of the whole person. Salvation is the healing and the restoration of the whole person. It's not just relieving pain. The healing of God involves healing the brokenness of our souls. It's bringing forgiveness of our sin. The healing that God brings light to our darkened hearts. God offers healing of our painful memories. Damaged emotions can be healed in Jesus' name. Amen? Broken relationships can be healed in Jesus' name. Hope for our lives can come as a result of healing. In Jesus' name. It's what Paul said, Ephesians 3. Now to him who's able to do more than we ask or imagine, according to his power that's at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. More than anything we could give ourselves, more than anything that we could imagine for ourselves, God wants to give us better gifts. God wants to give us some better gifts today. I believe today. And so I really do sincerely believe that for many, God wants to say today, now. Now. Now's the time. Now's the day. Now's the day of your salvation. Now's the day of your healing. Let's invite God to come. God, we invite you to come right now by your Spirit. Create some now moments today in people's lives. Create some powerful now, today moments in people's lives. I invite you to come. This is what I invite you to do. You've heard the word today. Now I just invite you to respond to the invitation to come. To my left, right over here, if you've been struggling with some health condition, if you've been really struggling, some persistent health problem, I just invite you to come over to my left. Just come over here and we'll have some begin to pray with you. Okay? Some health condition over here to my left. You would like God to come. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, go ahead. Some of you praying for others, just you're the prayers, just begin to pray and just put your hands on them, begin to pray, God's healing touch. Let no one go without prayer. Everybody receive some prayer. Just begin to pray and invite God to come in power. And those, some of you, before we dismiss, some of you that are really struggling with some emotional, you've got some emotional pain in your life. There's some heart issues. You're struggling with insecurity, maybe fear. Maybe you've just been hurt deeply by somebody in your life, and you just can't get over it. And you want to really see God heal your emotions. I just invite you over here. Just step over here with me, and we'll pray with you. Okay, emotions. Yeah, something that's just, you're unable to get victory in your life. Yeah, just come over here. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. What we're going to do is we're going to continue to pray for these people up here. And if you would like some prayer, need some healing in your life, yeah, come over here and begin to pray. Healing in your life, just come up for some prayer. But I want you to go. I want you to be released today with the charge to be available. To be available. In the routine of your days, to be able to be available and ask God what He might, how He might use you in the life of another person, to pray for them, to see healing take place in their lives. So, be blessed, be available. Amen? If you need some prayer, come up.